Hello, everyone. This is The Daily Occupation. My name's Anika. Let's get started. Today, I'm going to get real with COVID-19. It has been a just huge deal. There's a lot of people that are suffering or that know people that are suffering from COVID-19, or everyone's directly affected. You're either, you've gotten it, you know someone who's gotten it, or you've had to isolate or quarantine. Be safe, mask up, a lot of hand hygiene. So everyone's all in this together when it comes to COVID-19. So I'm not going to talk about my personal beliefs on COVID-19 in the sense of how I think we're doing, but I am going to talk about how occupational therapy can help those who've had COVID-19 and have them recover. So in case any of you didn't know or forgot, or new listeners, I work in inpatient rehab. And so I have seen a handful of patients who were had their diagnosis of COVID, and eventually, after months and months in the hospital, were able to then go from their ICU or acute care into then the inpatient rehab setting to continue on with their journey of rehabilitation. So by the time they get to me, they're negative. They don't have COVID anymore. They have spent their months in the hospital isolating and getting what they need medically. And by the time they come to me, they normally, that I've seen so far, have been off a ventilator or a trach, and they're just on oxygen and are really just in need of extreme, like, activity tolerance, standing tolerance, a lot of just debility is how they present. I've seen a couple different people. I've seen everyone, like, people from ages, I'm trying to think, I think there was a 27-year-old all the way up to people who are older. So I've seen a wide range, but it's not the primary diagnosis that I am treating at the moment. It kind of just comes in waves depending on how people are doing and where the main hospital that I'm next to decides to discharge their patients. But I really just wanted to kind of give a little bit of just my experience and my thoughts on how we as a profession can be very helpful in getting these people back to life. And I know that life isn't normal right now with COVID, but to life as normal as we can, and to get them home and to get them with their families, with their occupations that they've been missing out on for months. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up and kind of just have this conversation, and hopefully it brings in some insight, or some of the practicing clinicians can relate to some of the things that I'm talking about, or students can have an idea of maybe what they're either seeing on clinical rotations, or if they're not at that level yet, just to kind of get an idea that we as a profession can really make a big difference in these people's lives, and we're very important and definitely essential for the times that we're in. So I'm just going to kind of give a little bit of a brief, like, just thing, in the sense of there's this one research article that I found that I thought was really helpful that I am going to have on my website for people to review and to see as well. So if you're interested, make sure to go to my website and click on that resource, because I think that this gives a good idea, especially for post-acute rehab for people who are survivors of COVID, which is what I'm going to talk about specifically, because that's where I have my own personal experience. I can't really touch on people who are seeing pediatrics or on the outpatient side of things, how COVID's impacting them in their day-to-day. So I'm going to just talk about what I personally know and what I can touch on. So there was this report that really just wanted to answer the question of what rehabilitation services do survivors of COVID-19 require? So it was like kind of a question that was asked, and they're just trying to figure out kind of what people are needing after they leave acute care. And so this looks into physical, cognitive, psychosocial presentations and kind of what they're needing. So I kind of liked this article because it covered everything. And so a lot of the stuff that they talked about were some comorbidities that occurred with COVID-19, hypertension, coronary artery disease, stroke, diabetes. So those were just some things that they seem to have found high in this specific article. as always, like I just going back, I just want to bring research into my personal experience. So sorry if it's a little bit boring, but I think that it's really important to have research, but also have our personal experiences. So I think that one thing that we really need to work on with patients after they are out of acute care and in inpatient rehab side of things, getting their 3 hours of therapy, it is very important just conditioning. They need to be able to sit at the edge of the bed, be able to get from that bed to that wheelchair, to be able to withstand doing their ADL routine and actually have the energy and the ability to do it safely. Obviously, that's what we're worried about with all our patients, but with COVID-19, a lot of them have been in the hospital for months, so they've had so much atrophy of their muscles. So of course, when they first get to the hospital for us, they are going to be isolated for 3 days at least, even though they did have a negative test to come, just because they did have COVID, we have to have them on isolation precautions. So we have to wear our N95s, our goggles, our face shields, everything for the first 3 days, just to be safe, because they usually get 1 to 2 negative tests, at least where I'm at. Every policy is different per hospital. I believe it's still kind of, there's still that difference between hospitals here. There's not as uniform of a procedure all the time. So, but normally they'll be in isolation. And then of course the people with COVID, they had a lot of their respiratory things going on. So respiratory is going to get in there right away. A lot of the patients I've been seeing have had their nasal cannulas in for oxygen, and they're usually on a pretty high amount, you know, handful of liters, depending on how they can handle it. Some of them have needed oxygen a lot longer. Some have been able to get weaned off pretty quickly. Everyone's just so unique. So I think that that is something important to keep an eye on. So definitely having like a pulse ox with you, taking vitals, making sure our oxygen levels are okay. We're getting enough oxygen to our brain. Our heart rate is going to be under control, and we're not going to get tachycardic because they haven't done activity in so long. And then blood pressure too, making sure we're not going to get dizzy and our blood pressure is going to be low from being up and about moving after being in the hospital for so long, or that we don't get too high from having too much of an exerting activity. So those are just things to really keep an eye on. So vitals are obviously super important for most everybody, but with COVID, that's just kind of a specific consideration that I always like to keep an eye on, and a lot of the other therapists do as well. So we just really need to make sure that we keep an eye on them so they don't fall on us or have any sort of injury or have any sort of medical need. So obviously, when we're doing our evals, we're going to be doing all of our ADLs. I really like to see how they're able to go in the sense of fatigue. How quickly are they fatiguing? How much have their muscles atrophied? How much do they need help with? Depending on how weak we've gotten, I really think that doing functional assessments, looking at our, you know, actually doing manual muscle tests. Usually with active range of motion, I go off of their functional ability during their ADLs, but sometimes I'll have them do an actual screen if I can't get a good look at it, just like I would for other patients. I think it's really important once we're able to get them doing their ADLs is we get them in the gym and we start working on just mobility, working on transfers, getting, you know, actually walking if we're able, if we're not there yet, working on any sort of strengthening or conditioning. I do like to try to get them on a new step or an upper extremity bike for at least a tiny bit of my session, just to maybe start the session to warm up, see how we're able to handle our vitals, obviously then go and do more functional activities. But I really like to try to get some more of that actual exercise in versus just functional activities, because they really need that. And that's where PT is great to also work with as well. Aerobic exercise specifically. So I really think if we can try to increase to like 20, 30 minutes of aerobic exercise, we really want to try to start with around there. And so they kind of want to keep them at like 3 minutes or so to start. It really depends on the patient though. But we, you know, just got to make sure that their MET levels are okay, that they're not getting too fatigued. We're not hurting, you know, hurting. And we want to make sure that we're increasing, our ability to handle more things. So I think that it's really important to do that. Look at discharge, see what we have going on with our family. We also want to make sure speech is involved, because sometimes they can have some dysphagia or voice impairments just from all the intubation that they've had. And other things. So cognition can definitely be a thing that can also be a problem after being in the hospital for so long, getting confused, being on certain medications or any other sort of comorbidities that they've had. And then, of course, looking at psychosocial can really be something that's huge. They've been separated by their family for so long. Really try to see if we can get family to come visit and talk through the window or do something like that, or getting FaceTime video calls on. Technology has been great to help with all the isolation that we've had to have. So I think that psychosocial and just psychological interventions is just something that's very important. And I think that gets overlooked a lot in inpatient rehab, especially if there is an actual psychologist on site. I'm going to have another episode about psychology and OT in another, like just a whole nother section, because that's a whole nother topic. But with COVID, it's huge. These people have been isolated. I know I've repeated myself, but I can't repeat it enough. It's so important. So we can deliver interventions. It is within our scope to deliver so many interventions for psychology, for OTs, social workers, even speech can do a little bit of stuff. PT can provide them some resources, case management, trying to help them with if they have any depression, anxiety, PTSD, any other sort of thing going on. Very helpful. One other thing that's actually kind of helpful as well, Tai Chi, guided breathing. These things can be really helpful, especially if we're having people who are having difficulty getting enough quality breaths in. I really like to do guided breathing. Tai Chi can be helpful. Meditation is also helpful. And those are also things that are helpful for the psychosocial side of things as well. So I think that those are things to consider. So I really think that this is kind of just a similar type of care plan that you would do for other patients in inpatient rehab. But there's just obviously everyone is unique and every condition is a slightly different from each other, even though you may have some similar actual therapy and intervention ideas. There's just other things to consider when it comes to COVID versus a different diagnosis. And so you obviously need to look at what else they have going on in their life on top of COVID, what other comorbidities they have, and just looking at how we can get them to get back to society and to participate. So I want to just thank you. This was very quick, easy, me kind of just going off the script from doing a typical more scripted episode, and just kind of wanted to quick talk about COVID and what you can do in the inpatient rehab side of things as a OT. And there's so much more you can do. I didn't get into specifics of what specific interventions you can do, but just kind of the general conditioning and getting that activity tolerance and strength in. There's so much more you can do. And every person's so unique and has so much to bring about. I'm just going to bring up a little bit of an example of a patient that I had that has COVID positive. So she was in the hospital originally to give birth to her child. She had a C-section. Some things kind of went a little bit haywire. Some things kind of went wrong. Ended up having to, the baby ended up, baby was fine. Baby was born. Baby went to the NICU while mom got checked out. Turns out mom ended up being positive for COVID. So was in the hospital for 3 months, unable to be with her newborn child. Was finally then able to go from acute care to inpatient rehab, where I was then assigned to work with her. And we were able to get her some family visits, and we were able to bridge that 6-foot gap for her to see her newborn child, to actually get that bonding in and see how she felt about caring for her child. Did she feel strong enough in her arms to hold her child? Any sort of like things with breastfeeding? And she was another case too, where having been in the hospital for so long, we got atrophied. We also just had a baby, so our pelvic floor muscles were very weak. So we did a lot of pelvic floor muscle exercises because we had incontinence. And so obviously having a baby kind of loosened some things up down there, and then lying in bed for 3 months. So we had a lot of things to try to work on to try to get our pelvic floor muscles stronger. And then, of course, recommending her once she left the inpatient rehab to continue on with a pelvic floor specialist. If she, that's something I highly recommended her. I don't know if she ever went through with it, but I thought that would very much help her with increasing her independence, incontinence, because by the time she was ready to discharge, she was doing good with everything. Obviously, still taking her time, getting out of breath and needing oxygen. But the only thing that she was really what was really interrupting her daily routine was just the incontinence. So that was kind of her biggest hurdle, other than oxygen, of course. And obviously having her, you know, 3 hours a day with therapy for like almost 3 weeks, we were able to get her strong enough to complete her ADLs without max assist or anything for transfers. But that's just kind of another perspective of people with COVID aren't always the older generation. And I know almost all of you guys probably who are listening know that, but it can affect everybody. And sometimes it's at the times when you really don't need it, especially just having a baby. So there's a lot of things out there that you can consider along with just COVID. So that's just kind of an example of my personal experience with one of my patients that just stuck out to me in my brain. So hopefully this was helpful, just kind of hearing my own personal experience, maybe makes you think a little bit more on stuff here or there. You can maybe relate if you're practicing or as a student, just give you more of an idea of how we can be helpful as this profession of ours and what we can do when there are pandemics in the world. And maybe what you will be doing once you're on clinical rotations, or if you already are in clinical rotations, you'll probably see some of this yourself depending on the setting you're in. So yeah, that's all I have today. Thank you so much for listening. This is Anika, and you're listening to The Daily Occupation. Thanks. Thank you.